Hey, welcome everyone to the fourth week in our series, Home Improvements. This whole series was born after I learned that so many of you, just like me, have a long list of stay-at-home projects around the house. I've heard personally from so many of you that you're re-landscaping or redoing the bathrooms or adding shiplap to walls or finishing the basement or the garage or adding a deck or adding stairs to the deck and so on. In fact, if you've got a stay-at-home project going on right now, we want to know. Go ahead and just type into the chat window what it is that you are working on. Big or small, we want to know. Let us know what it is that you've got going on right now. Okay, here's the thing. This kind of investment into your home, it's a fine thing. I just couldn't help but wonder what would happen if we took the very same time and made the very same investment into our lives and into our hearts that we did into our home. And so that's where this series came to life. What we've done is we've paired up some projects around the house to talk about their equivalent in our hearts, because our hope is that all of us, that all of you would be using this time to ensure that we are all new and improved when we come out on the other side of these stay-at-home orders, right? What if we were different? What if we were better than before? What if it wasn't just our houses that got upgraded during this time, but what if it was our hearts as well? And so today what I want to do is I want to talk about a stay-at-home project that I am right in the middle of right now. See, ever since we moved into our house about 3 years ago, there's a project that we had been dreaming about doing. We weren't quite sure if we would get to it or when we would get to it. But now with so much more time on our hands that we are forced to stay at home, we decided now's the time. Let's do it. Why wait any longer? And so a few weeks ago, I had a good friend of mine come over to help me start with a little demo day at the Carlson house as we decided to finally tear down the wall in our kitchen. Here's a little picture of that wall beforehand. And if you're looking closely, we let our kids color all over the walls the day before we started to tear them down. It was just this little half wall that divided our kitchen from our dining room, and we finally decided to tear it down. Here it is in progress. You can see some of the sheetrock being torn away, and now here's where it is right now. Now, I'm not going to lie. This whole project was a little more complicated than I thought, but I suppose that's just how all DIY projects go. It's a little harder than I thought. It's been a little more complicated overall than I thought. There was more mess than I thought there would be. There's more work involved than I thought, and it's just taking a little bit longer than I thought. And that's not anybody's fault. That's just how this thing goes, and I didn't quite calculate it all out. But here's the thing. It is so worth it. Okay, we're not even done yet, and I know that it is still so worth it. The dust, the mess, the inconvenience for a couple weeks, the time, the effort, the uncertainty if this is going to work out or not, it is all worth it. Here's why. Because this wall was awkward and disruptive. Right? In many ways, it felt like it was in a spot where a wall just wasn't meant to be. It created this divide in our home between two spaces where we spend a lot of time. Right? That there was this giant divide, right where we live, right where we eat, right where we, you know, hang out, and right where we entertain our friends. And we finally reached a point where we said, hey, for the sake of the life that we do and for the way that we got things going on here, this wall has got to go. And what I started to realize is that the same thing is true in our lives, right? Now, I'm not talking about physical walls or barriers anymore, but we've got some relational ones. We've got some relational walls that have built up over time. There are some walls that we have built up around our hearts that create an unnecessary and an unhealthy and an awkward divide between people in our lives that we just weren't meant to be separated from. My mom knew this. I mean, I should start with a big old thank you to her and a happy Mother's Day to her for constantly breaking down walls and breaking up fights between me and my older siblings when we were young, right? She knew that we were better together. Okay, but it's not just siblings that can be divided. Sports divide us, right? Vikings fans and Packer fans can hardly watch a football game together. Sadly, race today divides us still, and we're seeing that tension even this week. Medicine divides us, right? Yes, you should absolutely vaccinate. No, you idiots, you shouldn't vaccinate. The coronavirus divides us, right? We're better at home. No way, we're better off at work. Politics divides us. My goodness, I mean, I don't even need to tell you that, you know, the last few elections have taught us that we are anything but the United States of America. Religion divides us. Churches separate over the silliest things, the songs we sing and the instruments that play the songs we sing and the volume that we play the songs that we sing and the lights that we use and the way that we dress and the seats that we sit on and the color of the carpet, right? Because we all know God blesses churches that have red carpets, right? Okay, now I'm exaggerating here now a little bit, but I think you get the idea. We let far too many things divide us. We've gotten really good at building up walls. When someone hurts us or disappoints us or disagrees with us, we build up a wall and we box them out. And guess what? Jesus saw it all coming. And no, I'm not talking about Vikings fans and Packers fans attending the same church. I'm not talking about a particular election. I'm talking about division, right? Jesus saw it coming and he was nervous about it. And so he prayed about it because he knew that it threatened the very mission that he gave his life to. And so it was after his very last meal with his disciples, what we call the Last Supper, that Jesus prayed. And John, as in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, John recorded that prayer. And here's what we learned. Number one, Jesus prayed for you and me. Right? That's kind of cool, right? He looked down the line at the generations to come, and he prayed specifically for us. And number two, when it came to them then and us now, Jesus had a specific prayer request. Now, if you grew up in church, you know what a prayer request is, right? You're sitting around in a circle and someone asks if anyone has a prayer request and someone raises their hand and says, yeah, you know, my grandma's sick or my, you know, my cat has fur balls, right? And so then you pray for grandma, you pray for Fluffy, the cat, right? Well, now imagine you're sitting around in a circle and someone is asking if anyone has a prayer request and Jesus raises his hand and he says, yeah, I do. I've got one. Okay. Wouldn't you be interested to know what it is that Jesus is requesting in his prayers? Right? We know what we pray for. You know, Lord, you know, please let there be a parking space in the front row. Or Lord, please let the Vikings win a Super Bowl, preferably in a year when people can actually show up to the game. Right? Well, we know what it is that we prayed for. But what is it that Jesus prayed for? That's something that I would want to know. And so here he is at the end of it all for him. And in just a few hours, he's going to be betrayed and arrested and put on trial. And you know how things unfold from there. And so he's praying. And he asks something of his heavenly Father. And I need us to see what it is today. So let's turn to John chapter 17. Here's what he writes, starting in verse 1. After saying these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, and here he begins his prayer. It says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. He's saying that the time has come for all eyes and all ears to be on me so that I can point all eyes and all ears and all hearts right back to you, God. He's saying as painful as it's going to be for everyone who witnesses this, he's saying glorify me in this moment so that I can direct all of it right back onto you. This is what Jesus was sent to earth to do, to die on a cross in order to pay the penalty that we deserve to pay so that people would know how much God loved them and how much he wanted a relationship with them. And so he knows the time has come for him to complete that mission. And he's telling God, he's saying, okay, the time has come. This is it. But before all of those things take place, before all of those things that I know have to happen, he's saying, I gotta ask you one thing, Father. Skip down to verse 11. He says, now I am departing from the world, but they, he's talking about his 12 disciples, they are staying in this world, but I am coming to you. He's saying, there is one thing that I just have to ask you. He says, Holy Father, you have given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name. He's saying, you gave me your power and your authority so that I could be protecting these guys while I was here on earth, but now I'm not gonna be with them any longer. And so Jesus is saying, God, I'm asking you now to protect them. Here's what he says. I'm asking that you would protect them so that, he says, in other words, he's saying, here's the purpose of my request. It's not so that they won't be scared, you know, when I'm gone. It's not so that people won't hurt them when I'm gone. It's something so much more. He's saying, protect them so that they will be, and here's the one thing that he wanted for them more than anything. He's saying, protect them so that they will be unified, just as we are. He's at the very end of his life, and the one thing that he is most concerned about was their unity and their oneness. See, here's what Jesus knew and what he would suggest in the next few verses, that as long as these guys were united, as long as they were one, as long as they were in lockstep with each other and in lockstep with the Heavenly Father, the world would start to change. But if they ever got divided, if they ever let things come between them, things would stall out. He knew that on their own, that they were prone to lose focus, to lose oneness, to go in their own direction. And while he was there, he could keep them on track. He could keep them all in line. He could protect them from the dividing. But now he's leaving. And it's only going to get harder for these guys to stick together. These guys would be threatened. They would ultimately lose their lives because of the message that they were spreading. And that message, it was too important. It was too life-changing. It was too world-changing to jeopardize in any way. And so the one thing that Jesus asks his Heavenly Father, the one thing he asks is that his Heavenly Father would protect these guys so that they would be one. And then here's where you and I come into the picture, because Jesus now prays for us. He prays for you and he prays for me. Skip down to verse 20 if you're following along. He said, I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. Right? Jesus is saying, my prayer is not just for these 12 guys, but it's for the next generation of Christians after them, and the next generation after them, and the next generation after them, and the next generation after them, all the way up to us. Jesus is praying for every Jesus follower from that moment on. And here's his prayer. It might sound a bit familiar. Verse 21, he says, I pray that they will all, okay, and all in the Greek language here in the Bible, it technically means all, right? It still just means all. He's saying everyone, right? Everyone, as in black, white, brown, yellow, you know, left, right, north, south, east, west, suburban, urban, rural, rich, poor, privileged, less privileged. Jesus says, I pray that they will all, what? Be one. Just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us so that the world would believe you sent me. Right? His one prayer at the very end, it was not a prayer for us, but it was a prayer for what God might do through us. You see, what's becoming clear here is that unity among followers of Jesus was critical to the mission that Jesus was on, right? It may seem impossible, but it was imperative for God's work on earth to continue. God sent Jesus to earth so that people would have living, breathing proof that God loves them. Okay? And do you know the one thing that would compromise the message of God's love for the world? Do you know the one thing that could compromise it all? It's when the world sees that God's people don't actually love each other that well. And so just to make his one final prayer to the Father crystal clear, Jesus says it once more. He restates it one more time. And in verse 23, he asks the Father, may they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Right? More than anything, Jesus wants the world to know of God's love for all people. That's the mission that he was on. And before he left for good, it's the mission that he passed on to them. He passed on to his disciples. Hey, love God, love others, love one another as I have loved you. Go make disciples. Go to the ends of the earth to be a witness to God's incredible love for all of humanity. And friends, Jesus passed on that very same mission to you and to me. He passed it on to us. To be a witness to the good news of Jesus Christ and of God's love for our friends and our family and our neighbors and our coworkers and so on. And so here's what Jesus' prayer says to me about all that. That our witness is multiplied by our oneness. Right? Our witness, it is multiplied and amplified by our oneness. May they be unified, Jesus prays. May they be one so that the world would believe that you sent me and that the world would know you love them. Our witness of that love, it is multiplied by our oneness. Right? When Christians are one with Christ and one with each other, when there is unity, despite our diversity, the growth of the church, and I'm not just talking about our church, I'm talking about the church across the planet, it's inevitable. Right? When Christians are one with Christ and one with each other, the growth of the church is absolutely inevitable. Because when we love each other unconditionally, right? When you and I love unconditionally, despite the fact that we might disagree on some things fundamentally, then the world will see that God's love is the real deal. They'll see it in us. They'll see it in the way that we interact with each other. They'll see unity despite diversity. And that will turn some heads, and that will turn some hearts, and our witness will multiply our oneness. Our oneness will multiply our witness. Because our witness to the world is multiplied and amplified by our oneness with each other. Now, let me make something very, very clear here. Oneness, which is what Jesus wanted more than anything for us, oneness is not sameness. Okay? Jesus didn't say, Heavenly Father, that there's one thing I'm asking of you, may they all be the same. Okay? That's not what he said. That's not what he wanted. He wanted his church to be diverse and a beautiful collection of people from every nation, from every tribe, from every tongue to come together under one name, the name that is Jesus. And as much as I would like it, right, Jesus didn't say, may they all be Vikings fans or may they all be Cubs fans. He didn't say that. He didn't say, may they all be Republicans or may they all be Democrats. He didn't say, may they all agree on climate change or may they all agree on the appropriate response to the coronavirus. He didn't say, may they all agree on vaccines or on public education versus private education. He didn't say, may they all be Baptists or may they all be Lutherans or Pentecostals. No, he asked the Father, may they be one. May there be unity despite the diversity. Jesus is asking, would you protect them? And would you lead them? And would you nudge them to respond a little bit differently so that even when they disagree fundamentally, they still demonstrate for the world that they love each other unconditionally? That's a love that will get people's attention. And that's the kind of love that God has for us. That's the kind of love that we get to be a witness to. And that witness, it is multiplied exponentially by our oneness. So let me ask you then this question. Who is it? Who is it? Okay, might be an individual, might be a group of people, might be a collection of like-minded people, but who is it that you need to work at being one with today? What wall is it that you have put up that you need to start tearing down? I mean, if you would just take a moment right now, maybe close your eyes. If it helps, wherever you're at right now, just close your eyes if it helps. Think through your life. Think through the people in your everyday world. Think through the people in your sphere of influence. Think through the people that exist in the very places where God has positioned you today. Ask yourself, is there a wall that you've built up between you and anyone in your life that you need to start tearing down? Maybe it's with a spouse. Time has gone by. Miscommunication has just gone unaddressed. The hurt has piled up and you've put up a wall. Maybe it's a coworker or a boss, right? Disagreements over time have created a little divide between you that's only growing larger every day. There's a gap growing between you. Maybe it's with a competitor in business, right? If you're honest, there's something about the way that they do what they do that just gets under your skin. And every time you see a post or an ad, right, you just get angry. Maybe it's with your in-laws. You can't move on from the one innocent comment they made at Thanksgiving 7 years ago. Right? Maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's an entire family, maybe it's a friend or an acquaintance, maybe it's someone who doesn't look like you or vote like you or someone who doesn't worship God like you do. Doesn't mean that you can't or that you won't disagree fundamentally, but I sure hope that you take a small step toward loving them unconditionally. And when you do, the walls will start coming down and the world around us will start to see that we are one. And just like the wall in the middle of my kitchen at home, right? Tearing down those walls that we've built up around our hearts, it might be scary, might be humbling, might be difficult, it might take a little longer than we'd hoped, it might create a temporary mess that we have to clean up. But let me tell you, it's worth it. And the mission that Jesus sent us on depends on it. Let me pray. God, we know that you didn't need us to accomplish your work on this earth. But what an incredible privilege it is to be asked to be a part of it, to play a small part in it. God, it's humbling to think that we're not just people sitting here waiting for you to do something for us, but that you created us and that you designed us specifically and uniquely so that you might do something through us. God, I'm praying that each of us would be open to that, open to what it is that you want to do through us today. And I'm praying that we might humbly admit to ourselves who it is that we have boxed out of our life for whatever reason. I'm praying that we would have the courage to tear down whatever it is that divides us, whatever it is that we have put up between us. I'm praying that those of us at Midcurrent Church would lead the way for what it looks like to love unconditionally, even when we might disagree fundamentally. And as we do, I'm praying that your church would grow. Praying that your church would grow in size, in diversity, in unity, in grace, in forgiveness, and in oneness. I'm praying that all of us would be one with you and one with each other so that the world might begin to change in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, well, thanks so much for joining us today. And happy Mother's Day, kids, young and old. Make sure to send your mom some love today. We're really hoping to see you back here next week at 9 and 10:30 a.m. James Brown and I will be tag teaming with the close of this series, Home Improvements. Plus, we have a few other things that we're excited to introduce in the coming weeks. So you do not want to miss it all. We hope to see you again soon. Have a great week.